Welcome back to Disruptive Adventism. I am your guest host, Wes Vi. And before we begin today's episode, I want to invite you to do a little empathy exercise with me. Start by closing your eyes. I want you to think of home, that place that anchors your life, your place of solace, the place where you can unashamedly be yourself, that place that contains the mementos and memories of your life. Now I want you to think of your family, your wife or kids, dog, cat, your parents, grandparents, your best friends, the people who know you best and who fill your life with love. Sit with this image of these things that matter most to you for just a moment. Review the warm memories. Think about the happiness that these people and this place has brought you. Now I want you to imagine that an army is approaching your town and you're forced to make a decision, a difficult decision, to flee. To leave everything you know behind, everything you own. Imagine losing contact with friends or family members. Maybe you even see some of them killed. Imagine as you are fleeing for your life, you look back and you see explosions and smoke rising from the place where your neighborhood once stood. Imagine knowing that you may never come home again. What emotions are you experiencing as you imagine this? Can you even imagine this? If you live in the Western world, perhaps you can't. We have no frame of reference for this type of experience, but for millions of people every day, this is their reality. According to the United Nations Refugee Agency, in 2018, the number of refugees displaced by war, persecution, genocide, or natural disasters was 70.8 million people. The question of how to treat refugees has been a hot topic over the past few years in America and Europe, as ongoing conflict in the Middle East has driven people from their homes. With nowhere to go, they've come seeking refuge, safety for their families in foreign countries. Today, our guest is Tara Vang, and she'll be sharing with us about her experience growing up in America as the child of refugees, and how the Ministry of Missionaries in her home country has influenced her life and given us an example of how we might minister to and care for those who God has placed near to us.
My name is Tara Vang. I currently live in Fresno, California, in an area where there's a lot of Hmong people. That's who I am. I speak, read, and write in Hmong. My parents are refugees from the country of Laos. They came to the U.S. as a result of the Vietnam War. And our people, the Hmong people, they were hired by America to fight a guerrilla warfare. And because of the involvement with America and America losing that war, America lost the Vietnam War. Genocide was declared on our people for supporting America. And so that's sort of how Hmong people started arriving as refugees. They came in the 70s, and Hmong people are not very well known. And the Vietnam War was not a very good war. I mean, no war is good, but it was especially a negative experience for America and Americans. And so when Hmong people started arriving, Americans actually thought we were communists. We were the enemy, you know. And so it was, there was this like, who are you? You look like you could be the enemy, right? And so it was difficult.
They looked like they could be the enemy. Let's face it, humans tend to have this built-in bias. We too easily default to doubt and distrust when we encounter someone who looks or talks different than us. It's easy to take the position, and unfortunately many do, that if they're going to be in this country, they need to act like they're from this country. But for as much as we love our country, we have to remember that for refugees, this is not their home. And if circumstances were different, they would never be here in the first place.
You have to remember they're indigenous people from the mountainous regions of Laos. Their access to real world items and things of the time It just didn't exist. And so my parents, personally, they didn't know what a doorknob was. They didn't know what a car was, or they hardly knew how to use one. They didn't know what a toilet was. They didn't know grocery stores. They're completely foreign in every sense of that word. And that's the difference between a refugee and an immigrant. Immigrants tend to understand something about the host country, whereas refugees have absolutely, well, no choice in leaving their war-torn country and then no idea of the host country.
So what was it like being the child of refugees growing up in America?
Well, you know, I grew up, you know, in a refugee home. And what that means is you don't grow up with much, if anything. And so I, you know, we were living in a two-bedroom apartment. Once we lived in a one-bedroom apartment, and there's 10 of us. So you can just imagine 8 kids in a tiny space. You know, everything we ate, we grew out of necessity. So I grew up on organic food all my life, you know, and so it was a struggle because you have this very real experience of poverty. But I would say I'm thankful because I was able to interact with others who have and share my experience in the cultural sense. And I really needed that. There was a lot of unanswered questions growing up. Why did I grow up as a refugee or a child of refugees? Why can't my parents help me with my homework? I'm only in kindergarten. You know, things like that where you grow up really quick. I mean, by the time I was 7 years old, I was helping my parents with filling out rental agreements. I was filling out my own application for school. Everything I ever did, it had to be self-initiative. So I really had to grow up quickly and be a translator, social worker, housing assistant, banker. I remember my siblings, we were talking about how at 10, we were already doing our parents' taxes. You know, things like that, because we could read and write and speak in English. So it's really unique.
After the break, Tara is going to share how her family was introduced to Christianity by missionaries in Laos. But as we continue with her story, I want you to hold on to that question she asked herself as a child growing up. Why did I have to be the child of a refugee? We'll be back with more Disruptive Adventism after the break. As we continue our conversation with Tara, I was curious to hear about her family's journey of faith. How did her family and herself end up becoming Christians, being from a region of the world that is primarily known for its practice of Buddhism?
Laos, as a general, the country is mostly Buddhist, but Hmong people are an ethnic minority within Laos. So we're not in the majority, we are indigenous in the mountains. And so for Hmong people specifically, they believe in shamanism. And it's a lot of spiritualism. It's a lot of animal sacrificing. In fact, when I really think about what Hmong people do and practice as a belief system, it's very similar to Israelite culture. You know, who puts blood on doorposts to keep spirits out? Things that I look at my own culture and I think God is good because he has left some trace of who he is. I have a responsibility to try to share a God, a creator with my own people. We do believe in a creator. We believe in an all-powerful being. And so we do believe in God, but we just don't quite know that there's a God that's out there that actually wants to be our friend. That's a whole new understanding of God for us. Laos is still a communist country. It is very common to be persecuted as a Christian. There's almost no Christians in Laos at all. So that in itself is a testimony for my family, because my parents actually became Seventh-day Adventists while in Laos. In 1953, there was a couple, Richard and Jeannie Hall. They were missionaries in Thailand, and they felt conviction. This is 1953. They felt a conviction to go into Laos, to go and to start either a medical clinic or a schools and begin a church plant in Laos. And they happened to come to a village where my grandfather lived. And then in 1957, just a few years later, they were joined by a Filipino pastor from the Philippines. His name is Abel Pangyan, and he was 25 years old. They were in their late 20s, early 30s. And he decided to spend a career in missionary work. And he worked with the Hmong villages, provided medical clinic and medical, basic medical needs, pulling out teeth, you know, just patching up bandages, like wounds. It was amazing because of their influence. After 10 years of Adventist presence, my grandfather became an Adventist. And then the war broke out, and my grandfather and my dad, they prayed every step of their journey and their exodus out of Laos because of the war.
It's always fascinating to me to hear stories of how missionaries go into mountain villages and establish a presence and a relationship with indigenous people so that they can share the gospel. But following the Vietnam War and the rise of communism in Laos, how has the church fared in Tara's home country?
Well, we're not really there, so there is no frame of reference. But I will say, our unique values, our health message, the fact that we keep the Sabbath, it really actually separates us in a positive way. As we stand for what we believe, it's so unique and it's so different that it's for these reasons that my grandfather became an Adventist. And honestly, they don't know the Bible. They don't have access. They're not literate. But they recognize, he basically based his decision on becoming Adventist out of three things. Faithfulness. He looked at all the missionaries to see who was faithful to the God that they claim they know. Effectiveness, when they became Adventists, did it really work? For Hmong people, they become Adventists because of a life or death situation. I mean, spiritualism, spiritual attack, that's very common. Like if you wanted community, you can become any of these other faiths. But if you wanted healing and you wanted a miracle, you became a Seventh-day Adventist.
Growing up in American culture as refugees from Laos, practicing their Seventh-day Adventist faith must have made for an interesting childhood. How did they integrate these together?
You know, it's hard. I would say I definitely grew up with the American values, but I still really very much hold to values of my own culture, because we're very community orientated. We're very much involved in each other's lives. I mean, I talk to my family every day. I mean, there's 8 kids in my family, so we're very much involved. My parents were faithful and brought us to church every Sabbath. So it was an interesting upbringing. Now, even though I didn't grow up going to any academies or learning really the deep understandings of our faith as Adventists, what I did experience on the Sabbath was a blessing. And I've never forgotten anything that I've ever learned growing up in Sabbath school, vacation Bible school, potlucks. Those are all, the Sabbath was a blessing in my very chaotic upbringing. Yeah.
When we come back from the break, we will hear from Tara about how her family's history of faith has impacted her life and calling as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsors. So far, we've learned a lot about the Hmong people, their history as refugees after becoming victims of genocide following the Vietnam War. We've heard how Tara's family was introduced to Jesus through the faithful ministry of missionaries in her grandparents' village in Laos. And Tara has shared some of the challenges of growing up as a child of refugees in America. In our final segment, we're going to see how all this ties together into Tara's life and ministry today.
Well, right now, actually, I put on free health clinics. We provide free dental, vision, and medical screening services to local churches. I work in the Central California Conference, and they're called Life Hope Clinics. And the very first, I want to say, Pathways to Health, it's been a big thing recently. The very beginning of that started in our conference. And out of that came out Pathways to Health, and then Life Hope Clinics for the local conference. Well, they are bite-sized health clinics, and we turn local churches into sanctuaries, into clinics, basically, where, you know, you might find in the larger clinics like 40 dental chairs. You'll only find 10 in ours. And so it's much more intimate, and we invite the local community to come and receive services. And you can visit the website if you want to learn more about it. It's called lifehopecenterscentral.com. And we're booked until like 2022. So I am busy organizing these clinics for my local churches.
Health ministry has played a big part in the history of Tara's family. And now she is committed to bringing this ministry to the communities in California where she lives. Why is this type of ministry so important?
I think it is the opening wedge. It is the barrier. It breaks down barriers because everybody has health complications or issues. And there's nothing better than to be healed and to be able to testify of healing. You're going to want to know more about who is this God that has healed me. You know, it's just like how Jesus was. He mingled with the people. He won their confidence, and then he bid them follow me. So in the same way, we are to learn from Jesus and how he did this. A couple years ago when I had some friends who were like, yeah, let's do Bible study. I was so eager that I was telling them all about prophecy. Like, I was like, okay, they need to know everything like right now. But then God really had to teach me, it's really about who you are. And as they ask, you know, share with them, you know. And so I had to learn. It's not just everything I believe, because we have a wonderful message on redemption, salvation, and the plan of redemption. But I want people to understand the spirit of heaven just by being with me, you know, and just they want to know more about me. In the sense that God has given me blessings and this truth that there's like, so what do you believe? Why are you vegan? Why do you do ministry? Why are you so involved? You know, I want people to know the truth and the word, but I also want to just be a friend, you know, and just, it's about who I am too, you know, like I don't want them to just think, oh, this is all I know, and brain dump them with all these wonderful truths that we do have. But in time, I want the Holy Spirit to work through me so that they'll be able to understand what it means to be an Adventist.
For the majority of Adventist history, health ministry has been a part of our identity, and it's one of the most effective tools we have for outreach. But as Tara mentioned, she coordinates clinics with doctors and dentists. What if your church is a little short on medical professionals in the pews? How can your local church use health to bless the community around you?
Even if you don't have dentists or eye doctors, it's okay. You can still do health ministry and reaching hearts through lifestyle counseling. And it's most important to assess your community. What are their needs? Are there a lot of single parent families? Are there a lot of young people in your community? Are there no parks? Are there no healthy food alternatives in your community? Just really think about what your community needs. And as a church, thinking about ways to meet those needs. We might think, oh, we got to put on cooking classes because that's what everybody needs and that's what we're good at. But no, that might not be it. It might be, hey, maybe they want a walking club. Maybe they want to learn English as a second language. That would be an effective ministry for immigrants and refugees because they need that need met. They don't know English. So, you know, it's just being creative and using the talents God has given you as a church to advance His cause. But at the end of the day, it's relationships. Does your community trust you, and do you trust your community? To the point where to have trust in somebody, it's like, here's the keys to my house. I can give it to you because I trust you. Can we do that with our own community? I want to be able to be at that point where I can trust them and they can trust me. And in that mutual trust, I think that's when we can really reveal the gospel in its true light.
As we consider health ministry and the ways that it can impact our communities, let's not forget that all across the United States, and probably in whatever country you might be listening to this from, there are refugees that have found themselves through a series of unfortunate circumstances living next door to you. And they could really use a friendly face, someone to show concern for the health and well-being of themselves and their family. You would be surprised at where you might find pockets of refugees. I live in rural western Oklahoma, and just a couple hours away, there's a large pocket of refugees from Burma living in the Oklahoma Panhandle. Who would have ever expected that? But before we wrap up this episode, I want to revisit that question Tara asked herself as a child. Why am I a child of refugees?
You know, this is a question I ask myself every day. You know, why did God bring me up as a refugee child? And I think my question was answered in the book of Evangelism. There's a chapter called Strangers in Our Midst. And I would recommend everybody to at least read that chapter. It talks about how God in His providence has enabled foreigners to come to America. And the sole purpose is so that we can understand the third angel's message. And as we understand it, we can communicate it to our own people in this country and in the country at home. And I've really just realized God has a grander plan. Right now, I am in the process of printing Bibles and making sure that the Hmong people in Laos and Vietnam have access to the Word of God. They are so hungry, and I have the resources, and God has given me this ability to be able to move resources so that they could have access to the Word of God because they are so hungry. And it's a communist country, which means everything is creatively given, and there's a process on how to get the actual Bibles to them because you can't have it at the borders. You can't carry it with you. Everything is underground. So it's kind of exciting. It's like a dangerous but like exciting like way to get the Word of God to my own people. And I would say in the process, it's also sparked other people to want to do something for their own people. So my appeal to the listeners, if you speak another language, God has a purpose for you in that, in your community.
You've been listening to Disruptive Adventism. We hope that today's topic helped you to think and change something about your practices, about your faith, about your Adventism. If you want to subscribe, make sure to go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be there. And make sure to give us a review if you like what you're listening to. If you want to support, make sure to go to patreon.com/disruptiveadventism. It helps us pay our bills and produce the content that you're listening to. And if you want to socialize, make sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram or on Twitter, and hit us up whenever you need anything. We'll be there to support you. Thank you for listening today. We hope you join us next time. And as always, we invite you to be disruptive.